surprising thing Israel or Jacob did when Joseph brought his two sons to be blessed? He crossed his arms and he put his right hand on the younger boy, whose name was Ephraim, and his left hand on the older boy, whose name was Manasseh. And normally, you would put your right hand, or your stronger hand, the better blessing, on the firstborn, and your left hand on the second son, who was Ephraim. In this story, it says that Jacob was very old. He was nearly 130 years old, and he could hardly see because he was so old. And he said when Joseph came in with his two boys, he was so happy he sat up on the bed, even though he was very sick. And he said, I didn't think I would even ever see you again. And now I get to see your seed, your sons too. And he hugged the boys and he kissed them. And then when he went to bless them, he crossed his hands like this. And Joseph thought he was making a mistake, and so he put his hand on his father's hands and said, not like that, here is the older one. But Jacob refused, Israel refused and said, no, I'm going to give the blessing of the firstborn to Ephraim and the second blessing to Manasseh. He said, Manasseh is going to be a great people, but Ephraim is going to be even greater. He's going to be an even bigger people. More people are going to come from Ephraim's family than Manasseh's. Now, what is the Lord teaching us by this story? Oh, isn't it interesting that Jacob himself did the same kind of thing when he was a boy? His father, too, Isaac, could not see. He was blind. And Jacob's mother, Rebekah, helped him dress up and put on Esau's, his older brother Esau's clothes and sneak in and pretend he was Esau so that he got the blessing of the firstborn from his father Isaac instead of his older brother Esau. So why is the Lord telling us these stories about crossing over and giving the younger son the blessing? What does that mean in the spiritual sense? Well, the Lord teaches us in his second coming that Ephraim, the younger brother, represents knowing what is right. And Manasseh, the older brother, represents doing what is right. And the question is, which of these is more important for receiving the Lord's blessing and going to heaven? Is knowing what is right or doing what is right more important? Now, Israel's point of view is that knowing what's right is more important, because after all, you have to know what's right. You have to learn that before you can do it. Like if you want to set the table, someone has to show you. Where does the fork go? Where does the knife go? What do you do with the napkin? And all those things. You can't set the table if you don't know. And think of how many years a nurse needs to go to school or a doctor to learn how to be a really good nurse or doctor. Think of all the things a farmer needs to learn about caring for the land and caring for his animals, or a builder or an electrician. There are so many things you have to learn before you can be safe and helpful to other people and really do a good job. No matter what job you want to learn, you have to learn so much, which is why we go to school for so many years before we can grow up and become an adult and do useful things in society. So that's why people say that knowing comes first. Another important point that the Lord makes is that we need to learn from His Word what is right and wrong. We can't just go on our feelings. Well, it feels like this would be good. Our feelings are not always right. We can't just go on what other people say, because what other people say is not always right either. They might be wrong. So we need to go back to the Lord's word and learn what does the Lord say is the right thing to do. And then we can do it. And then our feelings will come along with that and we'll feel how good it is to do what the Lord says. So we have to learn first and then we can do. So learning comes first, and that's why Israel crossed his hands. But then if you think about it from another point of view, what's the point of learning except so that you can do something useful? You don't just learn how to set the table and then just sit in a chair and not set the table. You need to set the table so we can eat. Or think about building a house. The writings make this comparison. First thing you have to do is dig in the ground and lay a foundation. You have to pour concrete, use cinder blocks. You have to make a strong foundation so the house can be built on a rock and not fall down. So, because you built the foundation first, does that mean that the foundation in the ground is more important than the house itself? Obviously not. Or think about the house as compared with the people living in the house. The house is so that someone can live there, maybe raise a family, invite friends in, rest and eat, and then go out of the house in order to help other people. So which is more important, the house itself by empty or people living in the house? Well, obviously, living in the house is the point, but you have to build the house first. So just because something comes first in time doesn't mean it's more important, does it? So that's one of the things the Lord points out to us, and that's Joseph's point of view and why he gave his sons to his father in that way, in the way he did, and why he put his hand on Jacob's hand and tried to move it back to Manasseh. So why then did Israel go ahead and give the blessing of the firstborn to the secondborn? What is the Lord teaching us by that part of the story? And the Lord teaches us in the heavenly doctrine that actually there are more people. There are more people in the earth and in the heavens who have Israel's point of view than have Joseph's point of view. There are more people in the spiritual heavens than in the highest celestial heavens. The spiritual angels are people who love the Lord's word. They love to understand it so that they can do it. But their focus is, first of all, I really have to understand what the Lord is saying so I can do the right thing. And that's their focus. And they do the right thing. They love to serve their neighbors. But their focus is, I've got to understand what the Lord wants me to do. Whereas the celestial angels, they are born loving to do what the Lord wants them to. And then the truth comes to them almost automatically, like light. And so they see what is true and they love what is true because they love what is good. So there are more people. Ephraim has a bigger tribe, you could say, than the Manasseh tribe, which are the celestial people. And here are some more teachings that the Lord gives us about that. It says, the reason there are more spiritual men and angels than celestial is that the human will, or the heart, has been unceasingly corrupted, is what the Lord says. In other words, for a long time, human beings have done nothing but make our hearts worse until there's nothing sound left, nothing healthy about our hearts. And so the Lord has provided us a new way that we can be saved and go to heaven, go to the spiritual heaven. And that is our understanding can be regenerated. We can learn to think what is true, and the Lord can build a new will, a new heart in our understanding. And in that way, we can learn to love doing what is right because the Lord says so. In that way, we can go to heaven and be saved. That's an example of Ephraim as compared with Manasseh. Another reason people get mixed up about this is that people who are not being regenerated, in other words, people who are not preparing themselves for heaven, they want to think that faith is the only thing that's important. How you live doesn't matter. And then they can say to themselves, I can do whatever I feel like, and I can still go to heaven, because it's all about knowing. It's not about doing. Which, of course, is wrong, but they confuse people because they are convinced of it, and they want other people to think that way, too. And so the writings say, in this way, charity has so completely disappeared that people don't even know what it is. And therefore, they don't know what true faith is either, because the real point of faith is to teach how to live a good life. The heavenly doctrine says, putting faith and knowing first in importance causes darkness. It causes churches to quarrel and to value charity as nothing compared to faith, and in this way, the church perishes. And so, the Lord has come again. He's come again to rescue us from this darkness, to teach us again, to remind us, really, charity is more important. Actually, living a good life is the point. And it says, when the Lord teaches us this and we learn it, the whole face of the church changes. It says, when we learn this, then we don't call people Christians except those people who live as the Lord teaches. Those people are Christians. We don't call ourselves a Christian except to the extent that we do what the Lord says. And we can come to see more and more clearly what charity is. And we don't distinguish churches and make gaps between ourselves and other people just by what they think and what they say, their opinions about what is faith. We say, that man is living a good life. Even though he's got some ideas that I think are a little off, I can see he's living a good life. He is my brother. And that makes the church one, even people who aren't Christians, people who don't know about the Lord in his first coming or his second coming, they're still our brothers because they're living a good life. They're good people to have on our planet with us. So we can see from these teachings that we need both. We need to know what the Lord teaches, and we need to do it. We want the marriage of goodness and truth to take place in us, because that's what regeneration is. That's how we're prepared for heaven. And if we do both, if we both learn what the Lord says and do it, we will be blessed by the Lord. We will receive the blessing of Ephraim or the blessing of Manasseh. Amen.